Welcome to Healing From Within with your host, Cheryl Glick, and co-host, Tim Fisher. Our program is designed to encourage self-investigation and self-mastery of emotions, thought processes of the mind, and how they inform the physical body. It's time to align your inner essence with your daily physical life for the purpose of promoting positive experiences. Now, here are your hosts, Cheryl Glick and Tim Fisher.
Good morning and welcome to Healing From Within. I am Cheryl Glick and I'm here today with my co-host Tim Fisher and special guest Pam Rudiman. Pam is a certified yoga instructor, Pilates instructor, Reiki master, and certified hypnotherapist and fitness director of Sky Athletic Club on Long Island. Good morning, Pam, and good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl. Welcome, Pam. Great to be with you today.
It's great to be here.
Pam, you have to think back now a little bit. Remember how we met over 10 years ago? I told you I had had my first psychic reading by a woman named Sonia Mitchell, and she had said to me that I would be involved in yoga, healing, and spiritual communication. Big time! At about the same time, my chiropractor had recommended that I take yoga as a way to strengthen and heal from a car accident injury. And days later, when my hairdresser, Anna, asked me to go to meet her yoga teacher, and she said, Pam is so great, you have to come with me to this class. I have a free ticket for you. I didn't hesitate. I said yes, as I realized it wasn't a coincidence that this opportunity was being provided for me. Yoga was the groundwork for my development of an understanding of the duality of the spiritual and physical nature of man. And in learning to feel my own energetic presence, I started to ask new questions about my own life and about the purpose of a human life in general. Teachers began to appear, as did you, and they guided me, as did you, to explore and expand my own gifts and abilities and to broaden my involvement with life and the world. And I remember telling you we would be doing a show on yoga one day, and here we are. So thank you for the support and continuous passion you show for yoga and for life. As intuitive humans, knowing there are always new levels of excellence to aspire to and to achieve, we help expand everybody's quality of life. Yoga, Reiki, and being a medium has accomplished that state of being for me. But you know, Pam, even after years of practicing yoga, I still was not aware of the history, the antiquity, the spiritual nature of this athletic healing modality. So in preparing for this show, I have done some homework, and I think I have a little better understanding of the true nature of yoga. It is much more complex than a simple explanation can provide, because much like Reiki, words are hardly able to create the immense energy connection that one feels when engaged in the flow and mysticism of the event. So the first question most people would ask you probably is, what is yoga?
Well, Cheryl, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here. And yoga, basically, it comes from the Sanskrit word meaning yoke or union, which means to join. So it's really the joining or union of mind, body, and spirit. It's really a practice that combines physical poses, known as asanas, with deep breathing, relaxation, a healthy diet, and proper thinking. So it's really a total system for inner and outer health. And basically, as you know from experiencing it, it's a thoughtful system of stretching and balancing the body. And there's a pose that affects every muscle in the body, and each pose activates and stimulates different parts of the body, and it helps to improve circulation, digestion, nervous system, and there's many other benefits, as I'm sure we'll get to during the course of the show.
So in that way, it's a little like Reiki, which helps the body to relax, so all the organs can have a better flow, an opening, or a way for the energy and the flow. with everything in the body, too.
Absolutely. And as you know, that yoga is noted for its period of deep relaxation at the end of each class. We do relaxation. It's known as Shavasana. And this calms the mind, slows the pulse, and it brings the body to a state that's receptive for healing. And Reiki, as you know, as a practitioner, is one of the ways that we can offer healing to people on different levels.
Okay.
Pam, how would you describe asanas and how do they link body and breath?
Well, the asanas are the physical poses that we practice or exercises in yoga. And all of these postures are linked by the breath. The breath is really the core of yoga. And what I teach a lot in my classes is when we focus on the breath and we allow the postures to emanate from the breath and flow with the breath, it becomes really, that's where we get that connection between body, mind, and spirit. The breath is that pathway for that.
Can you name some of the different asanas? Well, I know the name of a few, but
sure,
no,
even
though I'm doing this years, I really only hear it from you, and then I do them. But some of our listeners might want to hear some of the names and
sure.
description of
well,
what they are.
Many of the asanas are named after things in nature. So you'll have tree pose, which is a balancing posture. It's also named after animals, so downward dog and cat pose, camel pose. That's the Western translation of it. The Sanskrit names of the poses, some classes use the Sanskrit terms and others break it down to the more common Westernized terms, which are easier for most people to remember.
All right. You know, yoga helps to calm the central nervous system so people can sit for longer periods of time. And is this a way for people to learn to sit so they're able to do deeper and health healing meditations?
Absolutely. You know, the ancient yogis, they were training themselves to sit for longer periods of meditation, and the practice of the physical asanas was really designed to enable the body to stretch, become more open, and prepare it to be more comfortable so that they could sit for longer periods of meditation. So there's definitely a link between the two.
Well, I believe that's why I was told to begin yoga. I was a type A personality, very fast moving through this physical world, and yoga helped me to learn to truly relax and to go deeper into actual breathing. I wasn't probably breathing properly before my yoga practice. So, Pam, do many people who begin with yoga advance to meditation practices and an understanding of other energy-based healing modalities? I mean, I know I did.
Well, some people start with yoga. They begin their, let's say, spiritual journey, we can call it, from the physical side. So maybe they're coming because of an injury, like you had said that you came following your injury from a car accident. And then other people come to it seeking more of the meditation part of it to help them to relax and de-stress. So there's all different ways that people find yoga and come to yoga. But a lot of times what happens is once they do start with one part, maybe the physical part, they then advance to meditation practices. They might become interested in Reiki, hypnotherapy, and all these other modalities from having started with the physical aspect.
Because they're all headed to the same place, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that place we're headed towards? Well, we're headed towards understanding more about ourselves as physical and energetic beings.
Absolutely.
And how to interact with mm-hmm. each other and how to find more joy and a better run of it while we're
mm-hmm.
living here.
And being spiritual beings in a human form.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pam, how else can yoga create an environment for quieting the mind and allowing more connection to a level of peace?
Well, as you know, life is very hectic. It seems to be moving at a faster and faster pace. And people don't necessarily take the time to slow down and relax. And when we want to make choices in life, it's sometimes better to come from that still, quiet place within. And yoga is one vehicle that we can practice to access that quiet center, where we can make better choices, where we can access that inner state of peace and calm. And, you know, that's definitely one of the reasons why people come to yoga.
Well, I know also, Pam, that I've met a lot of people in the class. People are always mm-hmm. coming and going.
There's a definite sense of connection
yes.
and community within a yoga class.
Absolutely. And what I wanted to say was that in meeting all these people, there seems to be a common thread to the reasons why they're reaching out. And reaching out to other people in a time when technology has made us sit by machines and be very alone is a wonderful thing. And I think yoga accomplishes bringing people together of like mind so that they can explore some of these questions we're talking about today and feel mm-hmm. very secure and safe that they're in an environment that you create as the teacher, and that also the facility, the place you work for, Sky
Athletic Club.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think they create an atmosphere for healing, for health, for well-being, for excitement and joy. And if you take an hour out of your day to go for your yoga practice, mm-hmm. that's making a commitment to helping
Absolutely.
Yourself be healthy.
Absolutely. You're saying that I'm important, this is important to me,
yes.
and you're setting aside the time to do it.
A personal choice. It's a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
Pam, getting back to yoga and how it's practiced. Can yoga be practiced alone or mostly or only in a group?
Well,
what do you recommend or suggest?
Well, like you were saying before, there is a certain dynamic and a certain group energy that takes place in a class. You can feel other people's energy. You can play off of other people's energy. You can interact with the instructor. And that's what a lot of people prefer. However, if it's not only other people do prefer more of a solo practice, practicing alone, and also
let me interrupt for a second. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we can talk more about practicing yoga alone or in a group.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Great.
And we're back. Our special guest today is Pam Ruderman, who is a certified yoga instructor and fitness director of Sky Athletic Club on Long Island. Pam, you were telling us about the energy of a group yoga session and how people in the class can raise the energy. But I was wondering what type or kinds of people can benefit from a yoga practice, and can people with disabilities also engage in the practice of yoga?
Yes, absolutely. Anyone can practice yoga, but not necessarily. Every yoga class might not be right for every person. If somebody has a disability, there is something known as chair yoga, where the postures can be modified and they can do it while sitting in a chair. People with other disabilities can absolutely benefit from yoga. There are certain postures that are really beneficial for particular conditions, but you definitely would want to seek out a class that would be right for you, and that maybe focuses on your particular limitation. But anyone can practice yoga, maybe not all of the yoga poses, but definitely at least some of them, and a good instructor or a class designed specifically for that condition can be most beneficial. And most of the postures can be modified. So if someone has a back condition, let's say there are props out there that can help to assist make the posture easier for them. But most of the postures can be modified to some degree. And then there are some postures that are contraindicated for particular conditions. But, you know, I definitely encourage anyone who is interested in starting a yoga practice to do their research and seek out a class or an instructor that can help them, especially if they do have some limitations or disabilities that they're working with.
Pam, at about the time that I started yoga with you, I also returned to teaching in the New York City schools. And it became evident to me very quickly that there were many damaged and needy children. And I saw the benefits of yoga and started to do some with my classes. The children responded so well, and at a Christmas party with my principal, they were always receiving grants to try new programs. And I said to him, if you really want to make a difference in the lives of these children and to bring yoga to the New York City public schools, it would be so beneficial on so many levels for all the children and the teachers.
And the teachers, absolutely. I used to teach a lot in schools. And more schools now are getting funding to incorporate yoga as part of their physical education department, or even after school for teachers or during the school. Kids love yoga. First of all, when they're younger, their bodies bend. They're naturally more flexible. It's easier for them to do the poses. Some kids, they'll naturally do yoga while they're sitting watching TV, and they'll have their knees crossed in a certain position. That's actually yoga. So kids love it. It's great for stress levels, helps them to focus better in class and concentrate better. There's so many benefits to having kids practice yoga. And there's a lot of yoga centers and health clubs out there today that do incorporate kids' yoga classes.
And it can also start a lifelong pursuit of being healthy and being active. I know when I took gym as a student, as a kid, the teachers never said, now, we're not doing this for an hour each day. You're going to do this all the rest of your life if you want to be healthy. And I think if we encourage and say those things to the children, they will go on and make it part of their normal, healthy life plan.
Definitely. It will become a lifestyle for them.
Pam, people have said to me, I can't practice yoga when I talk so highly about it. And they say, I can't do it because I'm not flexible and I'm not strong and I'm going to look silly and I'm going to hurt myself. How would you respond to a person who says that to you?
Start where you are. You don't have to be flexible. You're actually taking yoga or practicing yoga to become more flexible and to get stronger. You know, yoga definitely helps to tone your muscles and help you build core strength, which helps with posture and all that. But if you're not flexible, that's why you should do yoga. It'll help you to become more flexible. And there are certain branches of yoga, certain types of yoga that make it easier for someone who's not flexible to start where they are and then progress in a more relaxed manner.
Maybe this is a good time to talk about some of the different kinds of yoga practices or types of yoga.
There's a lot of yoga out there. The umbrella term, or hatha yoga, which you've probably seen, that basically is the umbrella term that all of these other different categories and types of yoga fall under. The type of yoga that I practice is called Kripalu yoga. It's really emphasizing the awareness of the self. So we really emphasize compassion, self-respect. And rather than just focusing on the strict adherence to the form of the postures or the asanas, it's really about understanding your experience in the body and what's happening in the body as you practice the asanas. So there's really less of an emphasis on doing it right or looking good. It's really about listening to the wisdom of your body and then responding to what brings healing to you, what. That's really the emphasis, not on mastering just higher and higher levels of the form, although we do definitely teach you proper form and we emphasize proper form and technique, but it's really about awakening to deeper levels of self-awareness while you're practicing it. And as you may have experienced from class, you really begin to study where your own body is either open or closed, strong or weak, without judgment, just learning to listen deeply your body and then follow the wisdom of your body. So that's one form. That's Kripalu-based yoga. Then there's also Ashtanga, which is more of a power-type yoga, and that's where one posture goes immediately into the next. There's a lot of sun salutations, and your listeners can, you know, definitely learn more about it online and reading about it in the library and on the internet. But that's a more physical-based yoga. And for people who are very fit and are very strong, I would maybe suggest starting, you know, going into that type of yoga. There's also another type called Bikram, which is very popular nowadays. You hear about hot yoga. And Bikram yoga is a series of 26 asanas that are repeated twice each. And it's a 90-minute practice. And it's done in a heated environment.
I tried that.
Very hot. Did you try it?
I tried that, and actually one of my Reiki teachers wanted me very much to do that. But the heat was not good for me. I have a little high blood pressure, and I was not comfortable doing that.
Yeah, people either love it or they just can't take the heat, you know. But it does make your body much more flexible because the muscles are warmed up, so they're a little bit looser and you're able to stretch a little bit further. But you do have to be able to take the heat. It can
get very hot. You this, Pam. You know, when we do sun salutation and we reach up to the sky and sun and then we fall over our body down to our knees and then we stretch our arms out, I actually feel it takes me back to another time and place. I feel so graceful as a dancer and so connected to myself and the beauty of the world.
That's great that you can access that. That is actually called a vinyasa flow. That's another type of class that you'll see on many schedules in different yoga centers. And vinyasa is basically a flow where one pose links to the next, and that's what we do in sun salutation, where one pose just flows seamlessly into
the next.
Mm-hmm.
Down dog is another story.
Yeah, that could be challenging. that's a tough one. Then there's yin yoga, which is gaining in popularity. In that practice, you hold each pose longer, generally around 5 minutes or so, and that's supposed to help you to access the deep connective tissue around the joints. And in that type of class, you don't do as many yoga poses because you're holding them for such a long period of time. But that's becoming very popular. And then there's also restorative yoga. Restorative yoga uses a lot of props. So we'll use bolsters or blankets or blocks, and that'll help you to get your body in the proper position, and then your body is supported so that you don't have to hold your body in the poses. You have that support underneath you, and then you're able to sustain the poses even longer, and then it allows your body to open and stretch passively. So that's another type.
Well,
and there's many, many more. There's Kundalini. There's so many different branches. Anusara, Kundalini, there's a lot.
Well, I believe we are taken to the right place, the right teachers, and the right form of yoga. One way or another, we do arrive at the place that's best for us. So I encourage everyone listening, when they're asked, as I was asked by a friend, to go, they're in for quite an experience and an uplifting, life-changing experience.
And definitely try different classes and different instructors. You definitely, because you don't just take one class and then say, oh, yoga's not for me. It takes a couple of classes until you know the names of the poses, until you understand what's going on around you, and then once you're more familiar with the poses, that's when the relaxation benefits can really start to come. So definitely seek out different teachers, different classes, and find the one where it works for you, where you like the group energy, you feel comfortable.
And I think as a result of talking about all the different types, we can almost explain this connection of spirit, nature, and matter, and that yoga can harmonize everything in our bodies to nature and the community. Would you say that so, that we're attempting bring all of this together, to interconnect more understanding of ourselves, to our relationships, to our work, to the things that bring us pleasure in our leisure time?
Absolutely.
And this making us healthier, making us more aware of our body is a way to making us more comfortable in our body. Many people complain they're only in their head, only in their mind, and they can't reach down and feel their essence and the joy of movement. And I think this opens us up to that.
Definitely. And that's what we were saying before. Everybody comes to yoga for different reasons. Some come from the physical, and then they get the mental and the spiritual, and others come to it from the more spiritual and then get the physical benefit.
Pam, in a way, this sounds very much like what's going on in the course of a Reiki session or in the philosophy of Reiki, to find our inner being and be comfortable with who we are.
And on that, Cheryl, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about yoga, Reiki, and hypnotherapy. And we're back. Pam, you were starting to talk with us a little bit about Reiki and hypnotherapy. Would you like to tell us some more about that and how that
works? Well, Pam, okay. I know you are a Reiki master, as am I, and it is the highest level of training. And I know I started with yoga. Did you start with yoga also before going on to Reiki?
I started with yoga first, yes. And after practicing and teaching for a couple of years, I went for my Reiki training and my hypnotherapy training.
Well, that goes with what we were just saying before, mm-hmm. that you began to feel your energy presence, your inner presence, the thoughts that spoke to you, perhaps not with your mind, but with your heart and inner being. That's how I got involved with that, too. So would you like to say something about the interconnectedness of energy or the universal life force that we work with both in yoga and in Reiki?
Well, it's really all about it's all about energy. In yoga, we call it prana, which is life force. Reiki, it's the universal life force. It's basically all energy. It's all working with the flow of energy.
It's understanding,
in one way or another.
It's understanding that our thoughts are energy and our choices are energy. Every decision we make is a form of energy. And in order to live the best life, we want to harness our energy and our emotions and our thinking to be on a more positive level so that we can enjoy everything without mm-hmm. so much fear and anxiety. And I know yoga helps people, as does Reiki, quiet and conquer stresses of the world around them and anxieties.
Yeah, there's definitely a relation between the principles of yoga and the principles of Reiki, as you know.
All right, so they're all about healing and gearing the practitioner and the recipient of the energy to be more aware of the possibilities of everything around us, be more aware of the world and what's happening in our body and
right,
outside
both,
our
both
body.
Within us and
both Reiki and yoga do that.
Pam, I have a question. What type of work did you do before becoming involved in these interrelated healing modalities, and was there something that guided or brought you to embrace this kind of work?
Well, actually, I was in the corporate world as a magazine editor. I was in magazine publishing for a number of years, and it was a very fast-paced, very hectic, high-pressure, intense type of work. I enjoyed it, but it was very stressful. And in order to seek time, I worked very, very long hours, and in order to seek some time for that place, I needed to find that place of inner peace, I guess. And in order to carve out a little bit of time for myself, I made it my business to get to a yoga class. And from taking class and then also going to Kripalu, which is where I studied yoga, you know, that kind of turned me on to yoga and to meditation and made me realize that there's other things that I wanted to do besides writing and editing, which I loved and which I still do as a freelance writer and editor. And then once I started studying yoga, and then I just got into Reiki and hypnotherapy and all different types of healing modalities. So it really came from a place of, I guess, just being a stressed out corporate executive and needing to find that place of inner peace. And for me, yoga was that pathway that really opened it. And then I have a background in fitness, teaching group exercise, and also as a personal trainer. So yoga was, you know, this was back in the days when we all did the high-impact aerobics and all that stuff that's fun, but a little jarring on the body. So yoga was another way to stretch and kind of counterbalance all of the higher-impact physical activity I was doing. So I really came into it from the physical aspect, and then the meditation and all of the spiritual aspects kind of unfolded for me, and I pursued that even more so, and then I ended up doing it full-time.
Pam, I know we're aware that meditation, where you merge mind and body and senses, are within a yoga practice, and also in the meditative state that's achieved during Reiki sessions when we are mindfully present and we can allow a process to unfold that can foster self-acceptance, exploration of who we are, awareness, and mind-body balance, and also compassion. So, Pam, would that be a clear definition of the merging of yoga, which includes the restoration of the body and mind, and meditation, which includes quieting the mind and body, and Reiki, which develops in the same way a powerful consciousness of self? Because that's what I just heard when you said why you left the corporate field and what you were looking for. You were looking to expand your own understanding of yourself and to have more confident self-esteem and to go through this life in a different way than what other people were expecting.
Right, and to reach a higher level of consciousness, just overall. I think that was part of it as well.
All right, so then I think what I'm trying to say here is that yoga and all energy healing modalities seek an understanding of our physical body first, and then an awareness of our energetic essence comes in, and then we're able to reach these higher levels of higher consciousness, which allows us to have health, peace, joy, prosperity, and love, and maneuver this world in the best way possible.
Yes, definitely. That's the ideal. And, you know, it may not happen for everyone. Some people may just go to yoga and just get a really great stretch for their hamstrings, for their tight hamstrings, and that's it at the beginning. But it does create that pathway where deeper healing can eventually evolve, and where it's not just on the physical level, but it also becomes more about the mind and the spirit as well.
Well, I would think just taking that first step, to attend a yoga class or take a Reiki session or have a hypnotherapy session or a massage.
Right.
People who are reaching out in any way to learn more about themselves are allowing healing to begin.
Right.
And then it's a lifelong pursuit. It's never going to be finished.
Right. And that's what's so wonderful, that there's so many different healing modalities out there, because what might appeal to one person might not appeal to another. But there's so much out there that it's great that they just start whatever piques your interest, whatever you think you might be interested in exploring, try it, whether it's a Reiki session, whether it's, you know, taking a class or reading a book about a particular healing modality. Just, it's a pathway. It's an entryway.
So I was going to ask a question here, but I think you just answered it. I think that you studied all these different modalities because you were a curious human being who wanted to find the most in life, and that's a big asset, to be curious and ask questions and to be aware. And unfortunately, I meet people who are not. So we may try to help them in our own way to ask a new question or to try a new experience, and then they will become more enthusiastic
about share it
themselves.
With others.
And then
share it with others.
Oh, that's a good word, sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So yoga is a way of sharing.
Well, absolutely. And once you find a modality that you're so passionate about and that has made a difference in your life, it's human nature to want to share it with others, to bring your friend to a yoga class or to tell somebody about this wonderful Reiki session that they had.
Oh,
you know?
And remember, that's how I got
to
you. Two people told me it was time and I had to go. It was the way for me to reach another level of understanding myself in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, Pam, I've been in taking this in a slightly different direction, but in the keeping it in the sharing mode. What is it you believe we all seek to learn about ourselves?
Well, I think that's a big question, and it might be a little bit different for everyone. You know, I think we're all, especially in today's challenging times, I think we're all seeking inner peace on some level. And I think that we want to be able to make better choices, and that we basically want to know ourselves, to really know ourselves at a deeper level, the essence of who we are. And I think that that's what yoga
can I interrupt
can
here and say
us.
Something?
Sure, go ahead.
Because that's a great question, and I think
it's a big question.
It's a really, really big question. Yeah, Tim, it's a really big, good question. And I think what we want to know is what we know and what we understand through our own experiences. I know, for example, that you can teach children beliefs that you have, and they might not necessarily work for them, because children, as adults, can only learn through their own experiences what make them feel happy, safe, comfortable, and what brings them the greatest pleasure and joy in life. So I think a lot of the belief systems we've been handed by parents, teachers, they mean well. They always mean well. But it might be their way of looking at life. And yoga and Reiki is a way for us to look at life in an individual way through our own process of evolution and expansion. So I really like that question, and I really think we just both answered it a little differently, but along the way of what we're all trying to achieve in this world. Pam, are you ever using several forms of yoga in a single session? I mean, I take your classes. I believe you are.
Yes, I do. As I mentioned earlier, my style of teaching is heavily Kripalu-based, which, as I mentioned earlier, is about being aware of the body, listening to the wisdom of the body, not necessarily pushing past. We use the principle of the edge, finding your edge in each pose, that place of mild but bearable discomfort where you're feeling a stretch but not taking it too far where you're risking injury. And that's primarily my style, but I have other training. So when I do a lot of the sun salutations, I'll be bringing in some Ashtanga. I do some classes I'll teach with more of a vinyasa flow. So I do tend to teach sort of an eclectic blend.
And Pam, speaking of an edge, we're going to jump out for a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about your technique and style.
Sounds great.
Now, back to Healing from Within.
And welcome back. We're with our special guest today, Pam Ruderman, who is a certified yoga instructor and also fitness director of Sky Athletic Club on Long Island. Cheryl, you were going to talk to Pam about Reiki and yoga?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tim, for reminding me. Pam, as a Reiki master, do you think that the five principles of Reiki help a person to align to their own energy force, as does yoga?
I definitely do think that there is a correlation between the two, and maybe you want to remind our listeners of those powerful Reiki principles that we follow as Reiki practitioners?
Because Reiki and yoga, it's not just about the exercise or the relaxation or the session away from all the stresses of the world. It's about developing a lifestyle and a way to look at ourselves and people in a moral and ethical and to look at ourselves with integrity and improve our character. So the five Reiki principles are, the first one is be slow to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone worries,
done,
right? Everyone worries.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, but be slow to it. Make yourself step back. Take a break before you get yourself in a dither.
And that's what the breath work, or pranayama it's known as in yoga, that's what the emphasis on breathing will help you to do, to take that moment to still yourself and get quiet.
Yeah, so we carry it around, this training and this technique all the time, anywhere in any situation. And the second rule or principle and way of living is to be slow to anger. Two very deadly emotions that create imbalance and eventually illness in our body if we cannot learn to control it. So I'm not saying that we'll never feel anger or worry, but be slow to it. And as you learn to step back, it gets easier and easier to not let those emotions rule you or run your life. And then the third principle, which I see many people ignore on a daily basis, is to be grateful. Grateful for a life, a physical life. Grateful for the people in their life, even some of those who create stressful situations for us. They're there for a reason.
There are teachers as well. Right?
And yes, and we have to learn to accept everybody the way they are. Of course, we might want to spend more time with people, like-minded people, who enlarge and help us to grow rather than those that waste so much of our energy and bring us to a limited view of ourselves or the world. That's a choice also. Mm-hmm. That is a choice. And no one can make it but ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then after being grateful, the next one would be to honor and to respect elders, teachers, children, everyone. Respect them for being human and being here on this earth at the same time that we're here. And the last one always eludes me, but I'll tell you what it is. It is to enjoy your work and to do it honestly. And that only doesn't mean work. That means leisure time to be used with joy and in growth and to appreciate it. Rather than to do things because you have to do it, find a way to do it because it's good for you and you want to do it and it will benefit you some way, somehow, down the line. Those are the five Reiki principles. And
yeah, they're definitely related to yoga, as you know.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, can anyone who puts these principles together with their yoga practice fail to achieve a more positive reality and a better life? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be impossible not to do well in cooperating all this. So, Pam, we know, but I'm going to ask you how you know. Can yoga, like Reiki, provide awareness of self to calm and soothe the physical body, allowing an understanding of the duality of physical and energetic life as being one and the same in each of us? Now we've answered a question that we asked before. Who really are we? We really are, both the physical and the energetic presence. Some people will call it soul, spirit, divinity. And it is, when balanced within an individual, it offers the best way to have the best life. If you work at odds with another person in your life or a situation in your life, you'll just have conflict, friction. But if you work together with who you are, your dual nature, you'll be peaceful within yourself, and that's where peace starts, within each one of us. So I think we answered the question about yoga and Reiki and who we are and what it's leading us to.
I think so. And, you know, there's something that we talk about in yoga being the practice on the mat and off the mat. And one of the things that we begin to notice as we practice yoga is that how we are in our yoga practice and how we are on the yoga mat is very similar to how we conduct ourselves off of the mat and in life. So that's really something that you learn the more you practice yoga, and you'll see that all the issues that you face and you deal with in your daily life in off of the mat, you bring that to your practice as well. So there's really, you can take yoga to so many different levels, and there's so much more that you can gain from it rather than just stretching your tight muscles. You'll definitely get the benefit, the physical benefit from practicing yoga that many people start with.
But you'll get more, much
you'll get
more.
Even more than you ever imagine.
Yeah, I want to say here that I still know people who practice yoga who do not recognize that yoga, as Reiki, is providing an understanding of their energetic essence. Yet they are willing to recognize the physical rather than the spiritual benefits of yoga and or Reiki. You know people like that, and I know people like that. Mm-hmm. But it really doesn't matter. They still are benefiting tremendously, whether they see the whole big picture or they just start in a small way towards helping themselves. You know, Pam, when I began yoga, I wasn't very flexible. But I found I had to adjust every pose to my own level of physical readiness. And I know you address this very nicely in your class when you say to your students, do not push yourself beyond your own boundaries. We are not in competition with anyone else. This is a very private and personal.
Yoga in general is non-judgmental and non-competitive. You don't come to yoga to do a better headstand than the person next to you, or to hold your downward dog longer than the person next to you. It's really about going within and focusing, you know, on yourself and being aware of your body and what's going on within your body as you practice. It really should not be anything that's competitive, and I always try to tell people, don't look at what the person next to you is doing. Just focus within and attune to your own body and be fully present with your own practice.
So then, Pam, in other words, what you're saying is, since there really is no competition and judgment is set aside, then it is an ideal place for people to truly be who they are without anyone else telling them who they have to be or what they should do or how they should do it. And you have always been the kind of teacher who has made me feel comfortable. If I fall down, and I have sometimes in a pose, you've seen it, nobody laughs. Nobody judges. That they just accept that person is trying. And when I was a teacher with special needs children, that was my attitude. Not to expect them to do what I expected, but to allow them to be and do what they could do.
Absolutely, and that's my philosophy too. Start where you are. Don't wait until you're flexible to start taking yoga. Start where you are. You'll become more flexible, both in body, in mind, and hopefully eventually spirit as well.
And Pam, let's leave it there with your philosophy on yoga. And thank you very much to our host today, Cheryl Glick, and special guest Pam Ruderman for an insightful talk on the power, usefulness, and the wisdom of yoga and Reiki as healing modalities of substance. And tune in next week to Healing from Within, when we have as our special guest world-famous intuitive and metaphysical healer Dr. Carmen Hara, discussing her newest book, The 11 Eternal Principles, which reveals simple truths to raise our consciousness and empower us to embrace a new age of enlightenment. And Cheryl, Pam, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone listening. Yes. I'm glad we had a moment to say that. Happy Thanksgiving. And be grateful for our lives.